We should be good. So let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Rendered speechless. Boy, Aiden was rendered speechless this morning, wasn't he? Yeah, I mean, we can be rendered speechless when there's an event that happens that causes us to not be able to talk. It's not that we're not capable of talking, but we're just sort of like, we clam up, so to speak, right? We're silent. We could speak if we wanted to, but something is causing us not to speak, literally causing us not to speak. And that was like perfect. I know he didn't feel comfortable about it, but it was sort of perfect that, you know, he was rendered speechless. It's like he knows the answers, but he's a little nervous about this, and that happens to people. Did you know, for example, James Earl Jones, there was probably quite a number of years, I'm trying to think of how many it is, I think I want to say it's like six or 8 years in his life, where he did not talk. So he was raised by his maternal grandparents, and when they moved from one state to another, I think it was Mississippi to Michigan, at the age of five, he began to have like a stutter, whatever the condition was that caused him to have that, whether or not it was nervousness or something. But something happened at school, and so when he went to school from the age of five to the age of 14, he did not utter a single word. Nothing came out of his mouth. This is a man who has the most recognizable voice in the United States. I mean, you'd say, oh, Darth Vader, CNN, you know, this is CNN. I mean, you just know, Mufasa, was he Mufasa? He was Mufasa, the voice of Mufasa in The Lion King. And here it was that he could not speak outside of the home. He would talk to his, you know, his grandparents occasionally. He'd go out and he'd be in nature and he would talk. He'd talk to the animals, but he would not talk to anybody else. And it was actually one of his high school teachers that helped him move beyond that fear. It's called selective mutation, where you're selectively mute. Something is happening, has happened in your life. Anybody here watch The Big Bang Theory? Okay, so if you watch The Big Bang Theory, is that everybody at least gotten past like a couple of seasons? All right, so it's okay for me to give it away a little bit? Okay, so Raj Kuthrapali, who is a scientist, a doctor, is a astrophysicist, and in the beginning you see when he gets around girls, he clams up. He can't talk. Give him a little bit of alcohol, and all of a sudden, all of his anxiety releases, and he's able to talk to the girls. That's an example of being rendered speechless. There's a female, and he may not even know the female's in the room, and he may be talking, and then all of a sudden, he sees the female, boom. He cannot talk because he's so anxious. Of course, it is only when he has a gut-wrenching loss in his life and can't find a girlfriend, and he starts to talk to one of the other lead characters whose name is Penny, who's a girl. He doesn't even realize he's talking to her because all of his defenses are down, and all of a sudden he realizes, or she realizes, you're talking to me. And he continues on, and he moves past that. Well, that's not the case this morning, is it? Even though the people think that that's exactly what happened, but that's not the case. So with Zechariah is not rendered speechless by anxiety or an event that happened in his life. It's because of what happened to him. So let's start out in the beginning. Zechariah and Elizabeth are married. They live in the hill country, and we know that. They're not living in the city. They come from the priestly line. They follow the commandments. Everything says, you know, they are, in the Jewish tradition, we would call that law-abiding citizens. You know, they absolutely follow everything. They're good people. They're just and right in the eyes of God, as it was back then. But there's a big but in there. Do you remember what the but was? They have no children. What does that mean in first century Judaism? It means that God has not found favor upon you. Now, we're not saying that's what that means today. We're saying that's what that meant back then. That for some reason, God did not bless you with children, and that meant you must have done something wrong. They're both very old now. Who does this remind you of? What story comes to mind?
Abraham and Sarah.
Abraham and Sarah. Similar situation, isn't it? Absolutely. So we can automatically see God's ready to do a new thing, but they're not seeing that, or at least Zechariah is not seeing that. Remember, it's been 400 years since God has spoken to God's people. The last prophet that spoke on behalf of God to God's people was 400 years earlier. I want you to think about that. We just celebrated the Reformation a couple months ago. How many years was that? 500. Didn't it feel like, oh my gosh, that was such a long time ago? So can you imagine 400 years and God's people have not heard a peep from God? So now Zechariah, who comes from Aaron's line, from that that descendancy, there's 24 sons that Aaron has. So there's 24 different divisions in the priestly families. So they each take turns serving at the temple. And actually, when they go to the temple, because Zechariah and Elizabeth live in the hill country, there's actually a little place for the priest to be able, or the priest, yeah, the priest, sorry, Zechariah, to be able to stay. There's like a little housing area in the temple where they can stay while they're serving. So when it comes time to go into the holy place to light the incense, it's the prayer, the hour of prayer, they choose that by lots. It's a particular way in which they choose, and they discern who is God calling among us to go in there. And Zechariah is the one who is chosen. Interesting, isn't it? Like, we can see all this happening, but of course, what are we doing? Monday morning quarterbacking. Mm-hmm. So Zechariah goes in and he burns the incense. Has anybody here ever smelled incense burning in a worship space? Yeah, it's an overpowering smell. I mean, it touches every part of you as you are smelling that. It does something to you. And it's a visual representation of prayers going up to God. So visually and through your sense of smell, etc., you are experiencing these prayers that are going up to God. So Zechariah goes in there and he lights the incense on the altar. And the people are waiting outside, because then what Zechariah will do is he will come out, he'll talk to the people, and he will give them a blessing. Because they know that he is in that holy place right now, physically raising up prayers to God. So, there's a little encounter that goes on right there in that holy place. Gabriel shows up. Gabriel, one of the seven archangels, comes in and he brings good news. Now, what happens when an angel shows up? What's the first thing that happens?
Fear not.
They say fear not, because what happens to the person that the angel appeared to? Yeah, scared. I mean, my gosh, I don't know what I would do right now if an angel just suddenly appeared here. So that, you know, scared, absolutely scared. But the angel immediately starts to speak and gives him fantastic news, okay? And that fantastic news is, you are going to have a son. This son will be named John. He will bring you great joy and happiness to you and to many. And he is to be consecrated to the service of God. It's a particular sect that was called. He's to become a Nazarite. So he's not to drink any alcohol. He's not to cut his hair. There's a whole bunch of stuff he's not to do because he has been set aside. He has been given a vocation by God, and that vocation is that he will minister in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah is the prophet they're waiting for, so that they will know that Christ will come, or that God will come, that the end time is near and that they are to prepare for it. So God's silent for 400 years and speaks through the angel Gabriel. Something new is about to happen. But while something new is about to happen, it's happening or being conveyed in a pattern that is very old and very familiar. So it's sort of like Zechariah should have understood the ramifications of this. So he asks him a question. And that question renders him speechless. Really? It's sort of like he's saying, really? How do I know you're telling the truth? I don't know that I would have the nerve to say that to an angel. And next week we're going to hear what Mary said was, how can this be, since I'm a virgin, right? So she kind of positions that a little bit differently. But because of what Zechariah has said, what does the angel Gabriel do? He renders him speechless. You will now not speak for the next 9 months until that baby is born. And what does he do? He goes out. The angel goes away. He goes out. And there the people are waiting. Now, it's been a while. He took longer than usual. The people are getting like something must have gone on in there. Is everything okay? He comes out and he can't talk. And so he's like, and they recognize something happened. He witnessed something in there. For them, they probably think that he's been rendered silent because of the trauma, this occurrence. But we know that it's something different. So what does it mean to be silent for 9 months, unable to speak, unable to communicate? So I want you to think about that. You can have all the communication coming to you, but you're unable to communicate back. Now, we might say, yeah, we've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, I can type things. Like, no. We're going to take all of that away. So you can read as much stuff on Twitter as you want, and you cannot respond to it. You can see as much as you want on Facebook. You cannot respond to it. You're going to get all these emails and you cannot respond to it. No Instagram, no anything else that you may say, well, I could communicate this way. Nope. It's all taken away. Your ability to communicate has been shut down. Now, first of all, for Zechariah, this has got to be shocking because the man is a priest. And he sort of needs his voice to do what it is that he does. So his vocation for him is taken away. But I want you to think about what that would be like. What happens if you can't talk, you can't type, you can't write, you can't do anything as far as making your point heard or verbalizing? What does that force you to do? Forces you to listen. Something I would have to say maybe we're not too fond of. It forces us to truly listen. He has to take it all in. He has to process everything that's going on. And sometimes we forget because communication is so rapid fire these days, right? What do we hear? You snooze, you lose. We hear that all the time. It's so rapid fire that our automatic thing to do these days in communicating is just to react. Now he doesn't have the ability to just react and vocalize something or say something. He has to think about it and process it. He has to focus on understanding instead of being understood. So how might your life be different if you weren't able to communicate for 9 months? What might be different? What might you be hearing that you're really not hearing or listening to right now? Who or what might you come to appreciate in a new way? And what might be the very first words you speak when you're able to speak? Because those words will matter. And when Zechariah speaks, he speaks. Yes, his name will be John, the name that Elizabeth had proclaimed his name is to be. His name will be John. And then he goes into this glorious, glorious song of praise to the Lord. For Zechariah, there's a miracle that's about to happen in his life. a total change that's about to take place. Everything is going to be turned upside down and nothing will remain the same. And he has lots and lots and lots of time to dwell on the changes that will come through the birth of his son. He has 9 months to dwell on this. And when Zechariah is able to speak, he rejoices because something new is happening. This week, you're going to have an assignment. I get it's the week before Christmas, but I'm giving you an assignment. I want you to take time, and I want you to render yourself speechless. Don't do it during work, because I know many of you have to talk at your jobs. So you can't say to your supervisor, well, my pastor said I can take some time to render myself speechless, and I'm going to choose that time right now. But take that time, not even when you're alone. I mean, you can tell your spouse, your significant other, whatever. I don't know about you, but sometimes I talk back to the TV. Anybody ever do that? Okay? Maybe it's you're not going to react on Facebook. Maybe it's not you're not going to react on Twitter. Whatever it may be, I want you to take the time, and I want you to render yourself speechless. And I want you to think about the birth of Jesus. I want you to think about that miracle of a God who leaves God's throne and comes to earth as a child. I want you to think about the total change that takes place because God became incarnate. I want you to think about how God has turned this world upside down. I want you to think about how nothing is really the same. And I want you to dwell on the changes that came through the Son, Jesus Christ, and John, who prepared the people for receiving Jesus. And I want you to dwell on the ways that God in Christ is working through you and in you. And then, as the Holy Spirit opens your heart to the changed person you are in Christ, I can promise you that understanding is going to render you speechless. Amen.